Hallelujah.
Luke 19, verse 37, I have it on the screen as well. But if you want to turn to your Bible, you can. Luke 19 and 37. And it reads as follows. Then as he now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah,
peace
thank you, Lord.
In heaven and glory in the highest.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And
thank you, Lord.
Talked about, it was all good just a week ago.
Amen.
Yeah, it was all good just a week ago. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It was all good just a week ago. In this picture we have right here, for those that don't know, that is Rise back when it was Rockefeller Records. You see Beanie Siegel, Jay-Z, Dame Dash, and Memphis Bleek. As you can see, they like the best of buddies and having the time of their lives. It was a time when they were basically on top of the rap game in the late 90s, early 2000s. And as time went on and progressed, they dismantled. Everybody left. Jay-Z sold Rockefeller to Def Jam. And basically, everybody is broke now except for Jay-Z. Because of the move he makes. He's supposed to be his boys. He's tight with it, Dame Dash. He's been salty about it for like 15 years. He's always talking about it angry. But at some point, this was their relationship. And something changed. And the reason I called it was all good just a week ago, because that was the title track on Jay-Z's album, In My Lifetime, Volume 1. It was a song him and Too Short sang together. And in this song, Jay-Z's rapping about hustling and making money with one of his good friends. And one of his good friends gets caught by the police. And in the midst of that, it's supposed to be my boy, I love him, we down for each other. We did all this stuff together, but now you got pinched by the police. Now you're snitching on me. And he states that we've been through all this and I thought we were tight and it was all good just a week ago. So imagine that, the feelings he felt, the hurt, the pain Jay-Z might have felt from his friends snitching on him. And that was just one person trip out. What? Watch this. What if a whole multitude turned their back on you? We're going to get that in the text. It was all good just a week ago. So we look at Luke 19, verses 29 real quick. When he said this, he went on ahead, speaking of Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, and came to pass. He drew near the Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples. So this is Jesus, and I can't just start you right there. I got to give you a little pretext. So this is talking about Jesus. And right before this, in early in 19, he meets a man named Zacchaeus. Some of you might know who Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Tax collector was considered the worst of people at this time. He was a Jewish tax collector. He took money from his people. And Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus is a short man. He's down there a midget. He can't see him. The crowd is too thick. So Zacchaeus takes off running ahead of the crowd and climbs up a tree just so he can see Jesus. Yeah, I didn't come to preach that text today, but I got a question. What are you willing to do to see Jesus?
Amen.
He took off running ahead of the crowd. He's short, a midget, and climbed a tree. You know he's scared of heights. He got up there just so he could see Jesus. So Jesus is impressed by this. He said, you know what? Come down here today, bro. I'm coming to hang at your crib today. As Zacchaeus talks about what he's done, he paid everybody back. He cheated and tricked. He gave them all their money back. So Jesus goes to his house and he's teaching and all these things. And this is what we pick up in this text right there. Now he's going down to Jerusalem. So look at verse 30. It says, saying, going into the village opposite of you, where as you enter, you will find a coat tied on which one has never sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So Jesus sends his people in the town, says, you know what? I need y'all to go find this coat for me. I need you to go find this donkey for me. It's a trip. If I'm Jesus, you think I'm about to give me a thoroughbred. What am I looking for a donkey for? I need something that's probably Kentucky Derby ready or something. I'm going for a donkey. Jesus sends his people, says, go down there and go get me a donkey and loose it. If anybody asks you why you are doing this, tell them this reason right here, because the Lord has need of it. Think about that. Wow. Can I suggest to you that at some point or another, we've all felt like that donkey? People have overlooked us, have passed us up, have forgotten about us, called us names, and thought about we were worse than what we are. But out of all of that, it's tied up, it has issues, but Jesus still got need of it.
Amen.
Ooh, I can't encourage you today. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited when I read this because I know all my issues and all my past, and I should be cast down to hell. I should be forgotten. I shouldn't get nothing from God, but he still got need of me.
Amen.
God still got need of you. Y'all miss y'all shout. See,
amen.
Things can be torn from the floor. It could be a cloud of darkness around me. It could feel like my life is in shambles. I have nothing. I'm down and out. Everything is forgotten, but God still got need of me?
Amen.
What kind of God is that we serve?
Amen.
So God sees this donkey. He says, you know what? Go get it. I know it's tied up. I know nobody cares about it. I know nobody's thinking about it, but I still got need of it.
Amen.
But look at verse 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing it, the coat owners of it said, why are you loosing the coat? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on it, clothes on the coat, and they set Jesus on him. So the owners saw somebody taking their possession. The owners were confused. This is a donkey nobody wants. What are y'all doing? Why are y'all loosing this donkey? And they repeated exactly what Jesus said to them. The Lord has need of it. But the question is today, really, if the Lord got need of you, are you fully to give everything up?
Amen.
If God really needs you, are you really ready to give everything up?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has need of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I really willing to give up my time?
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a family. I know some of us have kids. I know some of us have jobs. We got time going every way, but don't God deserve some of that time?
Amen.
How do we go through our whole life living and moving and shaking however we want to move? And don't give him none of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Lord has need of your talents. What is your gift? What is your calling? What has God placed in you that gets your heart burning, that gets your heart desiring? What has God placed in you that you do really well?
Amen.
He gave it to you to use it for his glory.
Amen.
Not to absorb it and use it for yourself.
Amen.
The Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of our treasure. Once we give unto the Lord our tithes, our offering, our finances, all these things. Why? Because where our treasure is, where our heart will be also.
Amen.
So if my heart is with God, I don't mind giving thanks to God. All these things, God has need of it. Because he needs you. And Jesus had need of this coat. And this coat was about to become the famous donkey of all time. The famous in our history. Matter of fact, it's so awesome. That's why I love the Bible, reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, because it bridges together. We say the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. So in the Old Testament, it gives us visions of Christ. So even back then, look at what Jesus is doing in Zechariah chapter 9, the Old Testament, he's fulfilling a prophecy. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy by riding on this donkey.
Amen.
Yeah, this donkey was predestined to be rode on by Jesus. And I love this because he comes through riding on a donkey. This reveals so much about Jesus' character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should be shouting because our king is coming. What does he have? He has salvation, but he's humble. Jesus is traveling on a donkey, y'all. Of all things to travel on, he's a king. I should have horses. I should have chariots, but I'm traveling only on a donkey. Verse 37. Then as he now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, by saying, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So now they are praising Jesus. He's coming through on a donkey. They're giving him glory. And remember I told you the word synoptic means similar gospels. So Luke, Matthew, and Mark all share this story, but it's a little bit different than some of them. And Luke's a Greek, so maybe he didn't mention this, but Matthew and Mark mentioned it, that the people not only spread their clothes on the road as a practice for an ancient king coming to them, but they also cut down branches and put them on the road. Those was palm trees, and that's where we get the term Palm Sunday from. So this is the week before Jesus' resurrection. This is Palm Sunday. That's why churches across the nation today are celebrating Palm Sunday, because this is the week before Jesus is crucified. And they call it that because of the palm branches they took down. And what do palm branches represent? They symbolize joy, salvation, and pictured a future royal tribute to Jesus Christ. So this week is known as Holy Week in Christianity. In most Bibles, in particular passages, all the Gospels say that he went through Jerusalem. They all say that, but they don't talk about him, the branches and the cutting down. I love this moment right here because Jesus is traveling through Jerusalem in the holy city, the King of Kings, and he's coming on the donkey. Think about kings. When I think about kings traveling, old times, what do? They send a whole brigade in front of them. They send everybody ahead of them. You got trumpets. You got people shouting. You got people announcing, the king is coming. The king is coming. You got a whole royal brigade, but Jesus is by himself on a donkey. See, if he's riding on a donkey, he is showing me that he is humble, that his humility is above all, and it is a requirement. So if Jesus can ride on a donkey, I ain't got to have a bigger Benz or Bentley.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with it. Don't get me twisted. There's nothing wrong with it. If you can get it, get it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But he's letting us know that he's the king, and he rode on a donkey. Yeah, yeah. As long as it's clean and gets me to point A and point B, I should be content and glad what God has given me. I shouldn't be having to be envious or jealous of doing something wrong to get something. I should be glad because even King Jesus rode on a donkey. Up to this point, Jesus had done plenty of miracles throughout the whole region. Jesus has cast out demons. He's given sight to the blind. He's healed people that were deaf, that wasn't able to hear. He's allowed people to walk. He's even raised the dead. Jesus has done all these miracles, all this going on, and he still had people hating on him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to give you some free game today. Free game. Pastor's going to give you free game. Take this out. People are going to hate you for whatever you do.
Amen.
If you do all the good you can, they still going to hate you. If you sit there and do nothing, they still going to hate you.
Right.
So if you want to hate me no matter what I do, I might as well be the best I can be for God.
Amen.
I might as well go ahead and get that degree and that next degree because you're going to hate me anyway. I know I got a good job, but I might as well get a great job. I know I might have one business, but I might not start two or three right now. Why? Because people are going to hate you for whatever you do. Because if you got the talent to do it, they're going to be mad at you. And if you sit there on your talent and don't use it, they're going to talk about you anyway. So I might as well be glad and do whatever I need to do anyway. Because people are going to hate you for whatever you do. People are hating Jesus after all he had done.
Amen.
That trips me out. That blows my mind. That they will still hate on him after all the good he has done. So this is Matthew's account of it real quick, talking about the branches. You see that they spread the branches out on the road and began to wave them. But I want to concentrate on verse 9. It says, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. See what they're doing right there. Jesus in this crowd and they're quoting scripture. See, Jesus hasn't made too many proclamations about him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hasn't done that. He'll hear people and say, don't tell them who I am. He'll move and say, you know what, don't tell them what I did. It ain't my time yet. My time ain't come. But now he knows the crucifixion is just a week away. So now it's about time that everybody know. If you didn't know, some people knew, but if you didn't know, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm the king. I'm the one y'all been reading about, y'all been waiting on me, praying about. I'm him. So he's doing this triumphal entry, and he's coming through, and the people are excited now. Why? Because they've been waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled.
Amen.
They've been waiting for Jesus to come through for a long time, and they're waiting because they want him to what? Overthrow the Roman government. See, Jerusalem was under Roman persecution this day. They didn't run nothing. The Romans ran Jerusalem. So Jesus first came what? To destroy death. So they wanted him to destroy their earthly needs. That wasn't why he came first. He came to destroy death, to give us spiritual life.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life.
Amen.
So he came to do that. So what I noticed is the people who wanted Jesus to save them really only wanted to save certain things. So check this out. That's what I want everybody to do. Be careful when you want Jesus to advance your agenda and not deliver you from your demons. Be careful when you want Jesus to advance your agenda, when you want him to do what you want him to do, but you don't want to get no deliverance in the process. It don't work like that. You know, that's for us to say, you know, what was one of our favorite scriptures? If I ask for his name, he'll give me anything if I ask for it in his name. Mm-hmm. That's true. The next verse says, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. You don't get to ask everything and get everything if you don't love me.
Amen.
Because your love for me makes you pray and want my will. But if you don't want my will, I'm not going to give it to you because you might destroy yourself or plenty of other people. Mm-hmm. So be careful. We want to advance our agenda. Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows everything about our life, which means he knows what's good for me and what's bad for me. And he also knows what may seem bad for me is actually good for me. Mm. Oh, that's a praise God for that.
Amen.
And he loves me that much that he knows what's bad for me seems bad right now, but it's really good for me because it's going to get me to a place I need to be in life.
Amen.
So the triumphant entry is a trip because the people are jumping up and down, proclaiming Jesus to be God, saving them, they're blessing him, all these things. They cheering him on, but they were blind to his real mission to redeem mankind. Yeah, they wanted him to fulfill their earthly hopes and put Israel on top. But that wasn't what he was about to do. He had to defeat Satan and death.
Amen.
So look, let's look at Luke 19 real quick. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Let peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from a crowd saying, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. What? It's a gigantic crowd. It's a whole praise party going on. And then the church folk, the religious people, come to Jesus and say, rebuke your disciples. In other words, hey, bro, you need to tell them quick right now. They too hot. Shut them down. They doing too much. I don't know why these dudes are so upset and not happy that the Savior has finally came. They teach the law. They teach people about God. But they upset that the Savior has came. Yeah. Why were they upset? Maybe because he knew how they lived outside of church. Maybe they were upset because maybe, yeah, y'all righteous in front of us, but I know how you feel in your heart. You righteous around me, but I know how you lie, cheat, and steal. You righteous about me, but you okay with somebody committing adultery to try to get me caught up and stone this girl. Y'all claim y'all so righteous. That's why Jesus said, be careful that your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees. They snakes, they vipers. These were the teachers of that day. And then people tripped out because they said, Jesus ain't like them. He teaches with authority and power. Mm-hmm. They had no authority or power because they didn't have a godly life.
Amen.
So maybe that's why they really hated Jesus and wanted him to die so bad, because he was messing up the program. Because just right after this Palm Sunday, what does he have to do? He has to go into the temple and turn over the tables. Why? Because the seventh day, they turned the house of God into the flea market. People was buying and selling and purchasing doves and all these things. And Jesus said, what are y'all doing? He gets mad, righteous anger, turns over the table and flips them over and says this, my father's house will be a house of prayer. Y'all turn it into a den of thieves. So this is why they upset. They mad because Jesus is bringing to light what they're doing in the dark. So they are mad and upset. And trust me out, because the crowd is worshiping him, but the preachers hate on him. So Jesus is in a dilemma right here. He's riding donkey. He's getting loved and getting hated at the same time. But what trips me out about all this, that God knows everything. So in this position, if I knew, if this was me and I didn't know everything, what would I do? I thought about that. Like, I put myself in Jesus' shoes. But what if I didn't know, if I wasn't God and I didn't know how people really felt about me? What would I do? It might be something you do in my childhood. And this might be a little too old for y'all. We just make three-way pops. Yeah. Some of y'all might be too young for that. Y'all don't know about three-way. Three-way was that deal when we was young. We didn't have all the social media. So I started thinking about it. And you got friends, and maybe somebody likes you, but they don't want to tell you, and somebody has found out. So you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call them on three-way. And I'm going to talk to them, but you're going to be quiet. So we used to get on our phones, and y'all already know, you hold on, I'm about to click over. We click over, and we start to dial, and then what you got? You got to hurry to click back over real quick with that phone ring, because if they answer too fast, they going to hear you. Sometimes we click over so fast, we hung up on the person we trying to call, trying to make the call right. So we make our calls, and it's ringing. Be quiet, I'm going to talk. You need to be quiet. And we sit there, and what, we get information from somebody. So maybe somebody was hating on you. Maybe somebody lied to your face. I don't know what the situation may be, but we in secret. We sitting on the phone, and that person doesn't know the conversation. But we get to hear how they feel and what they say. And that's what I would do if I was in that time. I would have to make a three-way call or something so I could figure out how somebody's heart really was working and how they really feel. But Jesus knows everything. It trips me out, because how do you know everything? You mopping on a donkey. You know everything. And some of the people that's praising you today are going to be getting crucified next week. Woo! How do you do that knowing that people are screaming they love you, they're praising you, they're cutting down branches, telling you the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they're going to say crucify you next week? Oh my God. Y'all giving me compliments today, but you're going to crucify me tomorrow? Y'all celebrating and cheering me on, but you're going to crucify me tomorrow? Jesus didn't have to use three ways, and even through all that, he still loved them. There are some people that were going to betray you, disappoint you, minimize your purpose, assassinate your character. And guess what you got to do? You still got to love them.
Amen.
Because I figured this out. This would drive me crazy. If I knew y'all was cheering for me today and they're going to yell to kill me in a few more days, I would be stressed out. I would have so many thoughts in my mind. I'd be ready to knock y'all out. I'd be ready to, God, Father, sit them down. Every angel right now, yep, they lying, sit them down, stop, get them out of here. But guess what? That's too much pressure. That's stressful. So what Jesus really shows me that the love of God is so powerful, it keeps you sane when you should be insane.
Amen.
The love of God is so powerful that when I should be mad and angry and about to lose it, because God's love fills my heart so much, I can't go over that way with it. I got to give it to God. So Jesus is saying, you know what? It doesn't matter. They still love me. Think about that. His disciples, Judas, was part of his crew. Judas, the disciple that betrayed Jesus, the one that sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, the one that said, I'm going to take y'all to him, I'm going to kiss him on his cheek, and y'all can kill him. Think about that. Think about how deep that is. Jesus, he already know all this. So you mean to tell me, somebody said, Judas, you betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas' life was a trip to me because Jesus says, what? I am the truth, the way, and the life. Can't nobody come to the Father except through me. So Judas kisses Jesus on the cheek and betrays him. So you mean to tell me Judas kissed the door of heaven and turned away? He was that close that he got to put his lips on the door of heaven and turned away? And Jesus still loved him? Jesus could knock him down right there. Jesus could have said, kill him. Y'all ain't got his disciples. Peter was crazy. Peter was a thug. Peter about that life. Peter cussing. He carrying knives. Peter about that life. He cut a boy ear off when that whole situation was going down. So he could have said, Peter, handle that. But he didn't. He let him go. So it's a trip that Jesus loves us so much that even on the cross, he said, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe he was even talking to the people in this crowd who decided to crucify me and wanted to kill me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because the Lord, because the love of God is so powerful, y'all.
Amen.
So look at this. I'm almost done. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.
Amen.
Wow. The Pharisees thought the crowd's words were blasphemous. So, as we see later on in that week, when it came time to trial Jesus and put him under persecution, they say, he claims to be king of Jews. He claims to be God. And that's what they used. But the people was praising him as God. And that's why they wanted him to rebuke it. But Jesus would not rebuke it because he knew who he was. They didn't want someone challenging their power and authority, so they get mad and upset, and they wanted him to stop. And they said, you know what? Jesus said, check this out. Look here. If I tell them to be quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. That's deep to me. If I tell them to shut their mouths, stones. You know what stones are?
Rocks.
Y'all seen a rock talk? Y'all seen a rock shout? Have you seen a rock praise? Rocks sit there. As long as I know, they just sit there. Put them in a yard, look pretty, they just sit there. Rocks don't move. But he says, check this out. If they are quiet, then the rocks would immediately, the stones would immediately cry out. This is it, and I'm done right here. If for some reason the stones will begin to jump if I tell them to shut up. The stones will begin to, I don't know, maybe supernaturally grow mouths and begin to praise me and still scream Hosanna if I tell the people to shut up. This has to happen because it's in Scripture. So the reason I can come to the house of the Lord, check this out, and not be too cool to lift my voice. The reason I can come to the house of the Lord and be ready to shout and praise and raise my hands. The reason I can scream and do all these things because it was all good just a week ago. What do I mean? That life changes day by day and week by week. There's been some times in here where 1 week is excellent. The next week you get a report from the doctor that wasn't what you wanted to hear. 1 week was excellent. Matter of fact, the day before, Jennifer talked about Serenity's death anniversary coming up. We went to the park that day and played and had fun. Went down the slide. Our first time going to the park because she was born premature, so we had to keep her out of the weather. We went to the park and played and had fun, had a great time. But then she didn't wake up in the morning. It was all good just a week ago. Sometimes the job has let us know, let us go. We didn't feel we deserved it. This baby had a mean, evil boss that has fired us for no reason. And it was all good just a week ago.
Amen.
But in the midst of it being all good just a week ago, I can't let that stop my praise for God.
Amen.
Because he's been that good and that kind to me. So it don't matter what I'm going through, because things are going to happen. Life is going to sway me to the left or right. We live in a fallen world. At some point, 1 week is going to be worse than the other.
Amen.
At some point, 1 day is going to be worse than the other. So even in the midst of that, I'm never going to let a rock pry out of my place. That's why Lady Thomas trying to pump y'all up and try to say, you know, we got to get up. I might have, this week for me was rough. Mm-hmm. Telling y'all, Daniel, we ain't having no more kids. What his fault, but his tooth, he had a cavity. But on the anniversary, he decided to eat 3 pieces of strawberry cake. Thank you, Malika, appreciate it. He ate 3 pieces. Dude already had a little hole in his tooth. Trying to go to the dentist, the dude ate 3 pieces. And most of y'all probably had big, one of them small pieces. 3 pieces of strawberry cake. He cried all night Sunday. Huh? All night. I mean, how long you sleep, baby? Maybe 10 minutes? 20 minutes out of the whole night. And I'm talking about waking up crying. Ah, ah, ah. He ate, you know, baby. Big old tear rolling across my bed, kicking me and crying and stuff. Rough week. He had to get put to sleep, and thank you God for praying for him. I appreciate it. I get put to sleep to get the tooth taken out. Got down to his nerve, and he had to miss school. I'm missing work and come back to work, and I'm by myself, and I'm opening and closing. I'm there all day, 12 hours, and crazy. Didn't have enough time to do anything besides work this week. Destiny had a basketball tournament yesterday. Had to get there and go to work, back and forth, moving, and it was a rough week, but I thank God I made it.
Amen.
It was a rough week, but he gave me strength to get through it.
Amen.
Last week was a better week. We had an anniversary, had a great time. I was off work, chilling. Last week was a great week. From that aspect. But guess what? Some weeks are going to be rougher than others. But I can't let a rough week deter me from praising God.
Amen.
I can't let a rough week deter me from worshiping God. I can't let a rough week stop me from giving God the best I got. Because I've learned this, when I press through, and when it seems like it's just like, oh my God, I don't want to do it, and sometimes when God shows up the most. When I don't want to be here, that's when God moved like never before. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, I made it through. Quick story, and I'm done. Do y'all know who Cal Ripken is? Anybody know Cal Ripken? Well, nobody watches baseball still. I don't watch baseball like that either, but I know who Cal Ripken is. He's called the Iron Man of baseball. He played the most games in baseball history. I don't want to exaggerate the number, but it's crazy number. That's why I play like 168 games a season. He played all these games in a row. It's a crazy number amount of games. So he has a record for most games played. And they asked him, you know what, Cal? You got 20-some years in. You ain't missed a game. You all-star. You great. Ain't it been some nights you want to take off? I mean, double, triple header. I mean, they play 2-3 games back-to-back. Y'all losing, y'all not in a pennant race, y'all not gonna make the playoffs. And there's been some games you just wanna take off. And he said to the interviewer, you know what? It's some times I do wanna take off. I'm just not feeling it. I'm tired, I have no strength, no energy. But I think about it, God has gave me a gift. God has allowed me to play this game at a high level. So as long as he continues to let me play at a high level, I'm gonna go ahead and press through and play. And it seems like every night when I felt like I didn't want to play, that was when the best things happened. That's when I got my home runs. That's when I got my grand slams. That's when I got my triple. That's when I played great and we won when I didn't want to play. Can I test you, New Creation Church? in this new season that we're about to go through, you got to learn how to press through. Amen. You got to say, you know what? I know I don't feel good. I know that I'm hurting. I know I may be tired. My heart may even be broken, but I got to press through because what God has for me, I don't know yet. And sometimes we turn away from what God has and we're on the cusp of getting the biggest blessing we ever could receive. Amen. Because we gave up. Don't turn around on God. God has never forgotten you. He has never turned his back on you, and he loves you. So be encouraged that God is right there, and he's able to help you get through everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got to praise this place. Hallelujah. 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 We just thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for everything, and we just praise you. As we celebrate Palm Sunday, I don't know who you are in your relationship with Christ. If you're not saved, today will be a great day to be saved as we get ready to move on to Easter. God wants to do something in your life. So if you're not saved, let today be your day. I pray you be willing to give God your heart and your mind and your spirit. And maybe you are saved, but you just, I'm in the midst looking for a church, however the case may be. And as we're today, we got some extra time. I don't know. Maybe you need special prayer today. I just been going through life, been throwing me the curveballs. Life been messing with me. Life been giving me all kind of problems, and I can use some special prayer today. Whatever you're standing in need of, let today be your day. The whole purpose of everything, I feel like this every Sunday, you should never go back home feeling the same. If I was depressed, I should go back home encouraged. If I'm hurting, I should go home with my heart feeling like it's been helped. If I've been struggling, I should go back home feeling like, you know what, I can fight this thing and fight this battle and move on, because we all have our battles to fight. We all have rough days. We all have bad days. We all have times that are hard, times that trip us out. We all have those times, but with Jesus. That's why he says, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Why? Because he got me. Jesus ain't made no short change about that. Because you got me, your life gonna be better. I'm gonna add value to your life. Your last me, he'll upgrade you. He adds value to your life. A value that you can't live without. So whatever you stand in need of today, just to be saved, looking for a church home, maybe a special prayer, let today be your day. We're here to pray for you, love you, all those things. Let God have his way in your life. So we just thank you, Lord. For what you're doing, I'm going to pray real quick. And then we'll see what God takes to do, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for this attention word. I thank you, Father God, for every person under the sound of my voice, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that our hearts hopefully have been encouraged, oh God, to move, oh God. You put the music button. Our hearts have been moved, oh God, in such a way, Father God, that we say, you know what? No more when we sit down on you. No more, oh God. We will go hard for you like we go hard for everything else, Father God. We will go hard and give you our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our spirits, Father God. We will press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, Father God. We forget those things which are behind us, Father God. No, we're not perfect, and no, we haven't achieved it, but one thing we're going to do is forget those things which are behind us, things that have become roadblocks, things that have become stopless, oh God, that sin that so easily besets us, oh God, and stops us from getting to you in your full glory, Father God. So I just pray right now for everyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, that you would touch them, oh God, in such a mighty way, Father God. You know every heart, every mind, you know what they need of, what they're in need of, Father God. I pray, Father God, right now, oh God, that you touch, oh God, as only you can, oh God. I pray, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, for healing, oh God, deliverance, oh God, whatever it may be. And we thank you for it being done so right now, Father God. Let us never leave this place and never the same, Father God, but to press, oh God. Let our word be to press. Be ready to celebrate your resurrection, oh God, what Christianity is all about. Why you died for us, how you loved us, Father God, how you have forgiven us for our sins, oh God, and invited us to have fellowship with you and your Father. So we thank you for that, Father God, because you didn't have to do it, but you did, Father God. You didn't have to save us. You didn't have to die. You didn't have to love us, oh God. You didn't have to forgive us, oh God. You didn't have to wake us up. You didn't have to give us breath. You didn't have to give us strength. You didn't, oh God. You didn't so many times. And truth be told, we don't even deserve it for how many times we've broken your heart. We don't even deserve it, how much we've hurt you, Father God. But you keep on loving us. But you keep on loving us, oh God.
You keep on loving us in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our sins, in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our neglect of our relationship with you. You keep on loving us, oh God. What kind of God is this that would love us, oh God? What kind of God is this that would die for us? What kind of God is this that would save us, oh God? So I pray, Father God, as we get ready to conclude our Holy Week, oh God, you would have your way in this place, in our hearts, oh God, that we take the peace of God with us, not only from this place, oh God, but take the peace of God to our homes. Take the peace of God to our jobs. Take the peace of God everywhere we go. And when people come into our presence, oh God, they see the peace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You got praise. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, oh God, for what you're doing in this place. Hallelujah. We get ready to do our tithes and our offering, amen.
Amen.
If you need an envelope, should have gotten one to raise your hand. If you have credit and debit, you can go outside in the hallway. Sister Chardin will be out there. Or if you, some of you do, do Cash App, New Creation, dollar sign, New Creation 2018. You use either one of those, amen. Those are all, so I should have come around with the buckets.